Manx Radio's update with Andy Wint.
That's to my good evening at 5:30. This is update for Wednesday, 7th of April, 2021 from Manx Radio. 30 minutes to look at the latest news on the island. And background to the news, sport, business, Sea Watch, travel updates, the newsmakers in person tonight. No new cases of COVID-19. That's 88 active cases we have now. One person in Nobles, not in ICU. And in this update, no rapid mass testing here, says Hewitt. Onken needs more police, over 3,000 waiting for an endoscopy, and why young people need to know about war graves. And there are 812 people currently self-isolating on the Isle of Man, all on lockdown 3, day 36.
Man Benham Advocates, for your legal needs.
First of all, at 29 minutes before 6, these are the update news headlines. Faster Mai, Tessa Hawley.
Faster Mai, people under 30 could be offered an alternative to the Oxford AstraZeneca COVID vaccine. It's after a review by the UK medicines regulator into a possible link between the jab and blood clots. The Department of Health and Social Care here has previously said it would follow the UK's lead. No new cases of COVID-19 have been detected on the Isle of Man in the last 24 hours. There are now 88 active cases. The Chief Minister says he's reluctant to get involved in the ongoing row between the government and the scientist who set up COVID-19 testing on the island. Howard Quayle has admitted he hasn't read or listened to the evidence given to the Public Accounts Committee by Dr. Rachel Glover. Further afield, leading scientists say getting the AstraZeneca COVID vaccine is still safe, despite now advising that under 30s are offered an alternative one. A potential link between the jab and rare blood clots has been identified in younger people, but we're told the benefits still far outweigh the risks. The SNP's Westminster leader says his party will no longer support proposals for a coronavirus passport scheme because of serious concerns over ethics. Labour leader Sir Keir Starmer says as it stands, his party won't back the move either. And a man has won a High Court battle against the betting firm Betfred after it refused to pay a £1.7 million jackpot he won in an online casino. 54-year-old Andrew Green can now enjoy his win and 3 years of interest. Those are your headlines. News in full at 6.
Man Benham can provide guidance over the phone, by video call and email. We'd be happy to connect with you. Manx Radio Weather with Manx Glass and Glazing.
Jeremiah, thank you, Tessa. From the Ronalds Way Met Office, no warnings out at sea for the next 24 hours. Ben McCree should be in harbour in the next 10-15 minutes or so. On the Isle of Man tonight, dry with a light to moderate wind coming in from the southwest. It will bring thickening cloud this evening, some rain overnight, which should clear by dawn, down to 6 degrees through the night. Jerdain, Thursday tomorrow, dry and cloudy with some bright intervals, a fresh to strong west-southwesterly and up to 10 Celsius. Patchy rain again overnight into Friday, minimum temperature 3 degrees. And for Jahenya, rain first thing, then dry with sunny spells, a moderate to fresh wind coming in from the north or northwest, top temperature 7. Sunset tonight, 8:05. Tide is on the way back. High water, 9 minutes to 10 tonight. Low water, 9 minutes past 4 a.m. Sunrise, 25 to 7. And Thursday morning's high water, 13 minutes past 10.
Visit the Manx Glass and Glazing website and get your instant quote online. Manxglass.com.
Time to take stock then. When lockdown 3 started, it was hoped it would last just 21 days. We're now into day 36. Looking back, John Moss.
It was hoped it would last 21 days. In the event, lockdown number 3 on the island has refused to stick to a hoped-for schedule, with an unlinked case in the community forcing an extension. Even now, there's no specific period set in stone for the lockdown to finish, but Chief Minister Howard Quayle echoes the hopes of all when he said this week,
"We still hope to be able to lift the majority of measures on or around the 19th of April. We all want this to be the last lockdown we go through."
UK COVID rates are descending encouragingly, but the current front-running strain of the virus, the Kent variant, or the British variant as it's widely known in Europe, is a dangerously sociable entity and from a single case can spread alarmingly. This third lockdown started with a scutch of new cases, 17 overnight on March the 2nd, linked to a ferry crew member of the Sting Packet. An audit division examination into packet practices as regards daily behaviour is underway. After a significant period of regulation free life last year and emergence from a second lockdown in February, local dismay was very apparent when the masks had to go back on and shutters came down again on many businesses for lockdown number three. Comments such as disappointed, the majority are suffering again, and warnings that the measures were forcing many into debt emerged. But on the other side of the coin, there were those who saw another lockdown as inevitable in the circumstances and a safeguard for those genuinely apprehensive of being exposed to this pernicious virus. Whatever decision comes out of the Council of Ministers, there'll be criticism as well as praise. Those behind will doubtless cry forward, and those in the front feeling exposed will cry back. With the advance of the vaccination programme and possibly security measures that become a way of life, Ireland resilience could mean a future secure from the jarring nature of any more lockdowns. At present, the 19th of April is the date being cited for releasing this lockdown. We must wait and see if that comes to pass.
Manx Radio's update is available as a daily podcast. Simply subscribe for free online at manxradio.com or via Apple, Google or Spotify.
Good evening. It's 24 minutes now before 6. Introducing rapid mass COVID-19 testing could prove problematic. On the Isle of Man, the view of the Director of Public Health, who says we won't be following England's approach. From Friday, people there will be offered two lateral flow tests every week as part of efforts to clamp down on the spread of the virus. But Dr. Henrietta Hewitt says population screening isn't on the cards here.
This is completely experimental. There is no data or evidence to indicate how well it works, what the pluses and minuses from it might be. One of the major problems that one can anticipate from it is when you start trying to use it as a screening test in a population which is actually experiencing very low levels of COVID infection, then the risk of picking up false positives actually becomes a bigger risk than the risk of missing positives. And that's because the pre-test probability that anyone, particularly someone with no symptoms whatsoever, as in the screening context, is actually going to be positive for COVID is very, very low. So the risk then, as I say, becomes that you pick up more false positives. You then have to think about what the implications of that are, both for the person and their family and the wider economy. And if what you're saying to them is, if your LFD is positive, you must go home and you and your household must isolate and you must contact 111 in our case and get a PCR to confirm whether or not that LFD was accurate or not, then you're actually putting a lot of burden on those individuals and potentially the economy for having taken them out of the economy. You then create another layer of issue because when they have the PCR, the question is, how do you interpret that PCR result? If the PCR is positive, do you then require them to self-isolate? If it's negative, do you accept that it was negative or do you say maybe we should retest this? We actually don't know because these studies have never, ever been done. So this is actually quite a fraught area. And as the people who provide the sort of behavioural insights to the UK government on this, as they've pointed out, actually people will be quite likely to vote with their feet and not actually come forward for testing.
Sea Watch with the Isle of Man Steam Packet Company.
The Ben McCree left Heysham this afternoon at 2:15. She's just on the fringes of Douglas Bay at the moment. She'll be in for well before 6 o'clock onto the Lynx Band, heading out this evening at 7:45, arriving in Heysham at 11:30, leaving overnight 2:15 back in Douglas tomorrow morning at 6 o'clock. She's accompanied in the harbour, by the way. The Arrow is on the outside. The Mananan's on the inside, of course. The closure of the border meant that the fast craft season's been delayed. Mananan didn't recommence her services. Fastcraft services to Liverpool on the 25th of March, but she will be providing cover for the Benz period of overhaul. In the middle of this month, the Arrow will be providing the freight service.
Follow the Steam Packet on Twitter for the latest sailing information.
A commissioner in Onchan is calling for more police presence after another case of vandalism in the village. Investigations are underway after newly refurbished toilets in Onchan Park were damaged over the bank holiday weekend. It's the latest case of antisocial behaviour in the area, with hundreds of pounds worth of damage caused to a local sports club earlier this year. David Quirk spoke to our local Democracy reporter, Chris Cave.
I'm led to believe there's 16 cameras down there. And it's been before I was elected as a commissioner, there was a lot of activity down there, and the police had done some exercise down there on what needed to be done. So out of the 16 cameras, I hope that we do pick up some evidence, or the police use that evidence to pick up why were certain people in the park.
Do you feel that the CCTV cameras are working and they are helping to reduce the number of incidents that we're seeing like this?
Well, they should be. Never mind the ratepayers spending their money. Clubs and organisations spend money on their facilities, and they have to protect it. It's a sad reflection where the facilities are there to make sure that juveniles, family, kids can actually enjoy themselves. But if vandalism is going to take over and we don't have that protection or the authority that comes from the police, or to even to be seen in and around Onchan. I can't remember when the last time I've seen a policeman in Onchan.
Are you having discussions with the police about increasing their presence in the area?
Well, we did have one meeting with the police. Police attended a meeting. I'm not breaching, as far as I'm concerned, no secret on that. My concern is we've never followed up on the particular issue. There was talks about them maybe having a small little office space or a hot desk within Onchan. And my own thoughts is, and I did say to the commissioners' offices are not used at night. And it's a thing now that people like the hot desk. So if you can't trust the police to come into our own building, who can we trust? So that would have been an opportunity for the police to have a base in Onchan, visit Onchan, and for them to wander around Onchan to meet different parts of the community, whether that's the younger part of the community or the elderly part of the community, just to give us some comfort all the time.
Manx Radio Business Briefing.
It's 18 minutes before 6. Good news for Ravenscroft Investment Services Group. Assets under administration and revenue both increased in the year, which also saw the company acquire two new businesses. Ravenscroft now have 5 offices across Guernsey, Jersey, the UK, and in St George's Tower in Hope Street in Douglas. The annual report shows AUA now stands at £7.75 billion, revenue at £29.1 million. It's also reported that new client assets in 2020 were £628 million, and more than £500 million has been invested by clients in the Ravenscroft investment funds. Ravenscroft's presence on the island came after the purchase of WH Ireland's business. And look out for the name in sport in the future. Ravenscroft has taken its biggest sponsorship, becoming the principal sponsor of Bristol Bears rugby team for the 2021 season, with the Ravenscroft name on the front of home, away and European shirts. The shipping industry has seen better days. Since November last year, 2,980 containers packed with goods have been lost. That's over double the annual losses endured between 2008 and 2019. How's it happening? Well, bad weather conditions first, then surging demand amid a pandemic-driven upsurge in US imports. And with ships packed to the brim and staff working longer hours, there are more opportunities for problems. Packed container ships are also especially susceptible to what they call parametric rolling, a violent motion aboard that occurs when ocean waves and a ship's movement align. Such disruptions can send container ships and containers overboard.
The Stock Market Report, brought to you by Ramsey Crookall.
US stocks closed slightly higher as investors assess recovery hopes and economic data. The dollar fell as market participants waited for the Fed's meetings minutes due later in the session. Oil eased, gold fell, and in corporate news, Just Eat was the top gainer, with traders suggesting that a strike at rival Deliveroo could be boosting the shares. And the numbers now from Ramsey Crookall. At 5 o'clock, the close in London, the FTSE 100 was up 0.9% at 6,885. The DAX in Frankfurt down 0.25% at the close at 15,176. Currently in New York City, the data from Ramsey Crookall says the Dow Jones Industrial down 0.1% at 33,377. The Nasdaq Tech Stocks Index down 0.25% at 13,667. And the S&P 500 in Chicago flat at 4,072. In exchange markets, the British pound sterling worth $1 37.5 cents. €1, 15.6 cents, and 19 South African rand, 99 cents. And in commodities, gold down, 0.1% at $1,740 per troy ounce, and a barrel of Brent crude oil down 1.4% at $61.74.
With the volatility of global stock markets and the uncertainty of the new normal, you'd be forgiven for thinking now is not the time to be investing. Well, think again. Times like these offer opportunities to take advantage of lower prices and to benefit from future recovery. Make your new normal an investment in the future. Ramsey Crookall, investment specialists and members of the London Stock Exchange. Call 717171 or visit ramseycrookall.com for more information. Licensed and regulated by the Isle of Man Financial Services Authority. You're listening to the Isle of Man's quintessential daily news and current affairs roundup. Update on Manx Radio.
14 minutes before 6, the mountain road absolutely clear tonight and the Ben Macree just entering harbour. More than 3,000 patients are currently waiting to have endoscopy procedures on the Isle of Man. The figure was revealed in Keys last week after a question tabled by Garth MHK Martin Perkins. Coronavirus has been blamed for the waiting list climb. The health ministers confirmed they're looking at how they can bring it down. Chris called the man in line today. He's one of the people affected by the delays. This is his story.
My partner and myself both have Barrett's esophagus. My partner was left well over her appointment time and she was cremated last November due to terminal cancer of the esophagus. My next appointment, I have been told, is 3 years. Now, in that three-year period, I could get cancer and not even know about it. I wonder what Mr. Ashford's remarks, who happens to be by MHK, would be about that.
What, have you had a conversation with him? Is there a dialogue going on about this?
No. I was advised by medical staff, both in Liverpool and in Nobles, to sue. But I was also informed that I'd be in a queue. I haven't bothered. But as I say, I have my partner's ashes here with me now, waiting to be interned.
Manx Radio Sport.
Bastamai, Rhiann Evans.
Bastamai, good evening. Well, most football clubs could find themselves playing twice a week to meet the end of the season deadline after lockdown, with hopes of athletes from all backgrounds across the island getting back to action in the near future. The Isle of Man FA says it aims to complete all leagues by the 31st of May. This will result in most teams playing twice a week, while a number of cup competitions could end up being held after the completion of the league if time permits it. This season, the FA has granted permission for all county football associations to extend their seasons until the 30th of June, should they wish to do so. In normal circumstances, a special general meeting would be called for all clubs to vote on this issue, but under the current circumstances, it will instead be done via email. Clubs have been asked to submit their vote by 5 p.m. on Wednesday, the 14th of April. Further afield, and Liverpool says the abuse of footballers on social media is utterly unacceptable and has to stop. Trent Alexander-Arnold and Naby Keita were sent racist messages following last night's 3-1 defeat to Real Madrid in the first leg of their Champions League quarter-final. The Premier League club insists their players will get all the support they require. Meanwhile, Portsmouth have been kicked out of the Women's FA Cup for fielding an ineligible player. They were 2-0 winners over Cheltenham Town on Sunday, but their opponents will now go through to the third round instead. Part of next week's Olympic torch relay has been moved from public roads to a park following a coronavirus spike in Osaka. More than 3,000 cases have been reported in Japan today, the highest level in over 2 months. Tokyo 2020 is due to start in July, having been pushed back a year due to the pandemic. Meanwhile, in snooker, organisers of the World Snooker Championships have confirmed they plan to have a full capacity crowd of 980 people for the final in May. The number of fans allowed into the Crucible in Sheffield will gradually increase as the tournament progresses. Everyone that does attend must take a COVID-19 test and wear a face mask. The first round starts a week on Saturday.
Manx Radio Travel, driven by Quayside Tyres and Service Centre. Open as normal during this circuit break.
Matt McCree in, okay, on the link span. She'll be leaving at 7.45 this evening. From Ronald's Way, the 5 o'clock, Loganair LM685, the patient transfer plane to Liverpool, left 10 minutes late at 10 past 5. She'll be back at 6.40 this evening. On the roads, Mona Drive's closed to vehicles in Douglas with some waiting restrictions on Palace Road as well, part of the promenade situation. If you want to take a look at the promenade and see what's happening, go to myprom.im. Coral Bridge Road's nighttime closure has been extended till the 20th of April from 6 till 6 for resurfacing and footpath construction between Peel Road and Tremode Road. In Douglas, Switzerland Road is closed to vehicles by the junction with Queen's Prom for the Douglas Prom refurb as well. Now in Castletown, the Ellerslie Garden Maloo Street closure extended to the 9th of May between the junctions with School Hill Avenue and the Crofts for drainage work going on there, and also West Hill Avenue and West Hill Avenue Service Lane, some closures for the construction of new properties and highway works. Look out, by the way, for later on this week, Silverburn Bridge is going to be closed by the Grenaby Road, the junction with the Ballymurda Road. The track's badly eroding. The public right-of-way 423 is going to be closed. That's closed from the end of this week, the Silverburn Bridge. In Ramsey South Prom, footway on both sides closed and parking suspension for the new lifeboat station. And also Stanley Mount East, the parking fronting the Queen's Pier to the junction with Queen's Prom is suspended there for the restoration of the Queen's Pier, which is looking lovely.
Book your service or repair at tyres.im and we'll collect and return your car sanitised with X-Mist, which eliminates all viruses and can remain active for 7 days.
The Commonwealth War Graves Commission is launching a new educational programme to raise awareness among young people on the Isle of Man's memorials. It's appealing for any Manx organisations interested in finding out more about war graves to book a talk. On-island speaker and commission volunteer Michael Joseph spoke more to Ewan Gorn.
Although we're now 100 years further along, because we no longer have brothers, sisters, sons and daughters who are buried there, but rather their uncles and aunties, great aunts, great uncles, great aunties, grandparents and so on who are buried here. That makes it even more important than ever before to honour and respect their sacrifices so that way these people can be remembered. So at that time, you know, we have records from family members who talk about the photograph of his grave with the cross is very dear to me. And there was great passion and great debates back in the 19-teens and the 1920s about these issues. And it was needs to be a work of love and not a work of finance. And that's why we're doing that.
How are you intending on educating people as part of this program, this new program that the Commonwealth War Grave Commission is launching on the island?
So it's about telling the stories, especially in a very localized, Manxified way, to tell the stories to community groups, to schools and businesses here on the Isle of Man, not just about the global effort of the Commonwealth War Graves Commission, but also the local effort. There are 18 sites across our island, from Port Erin in the south up to Bride in the north. We have 363 Commonwealth War Graves here on the island itself. And it's a really wonderful way to not just talk about statistics in a global and in anonymous way, but to really talk about the individuals who are buried here on our very island.
Manx Radio's update with Andy Wint.
As the island's COVID restrictions are starting to be eased across the island, businesses, lifestyle businesses, have been told they may have to wait a while until they can reopen. It's hoped the majority of restrictions can be lifted on or around the 19th of April, but Dr. Hewitt says beauticians, hospitality venues, massage therapists may be the last to open up. Jenna Heidstrom is from Suki Beauty in Douglas and says despite the wait, it's good to be able to prepare.
So the last lockdown that started in January went from everybody being at home, and then all of a sudden from February, everyone was back to normal. And I felt like that was such a quick transition from, you know, literally being in the house alone to then being in the salon and able to operate. This time around, I think it's a much more sensible option and it takes away the fear aspect. I mean, our client safety is our priority, and for them to come into the salon in a more relaxed environment is way, you know, more preferred than just going straight into things. You kind of have to readjust, don't you?
Say restrictions are lifted, will you be keeping any measures in, mask wearing perhaps?
Yeah, we'll keep all our measures in, especially when we first reopen. It gives the client as well some comfort when they come into the salon, especially if they are high-risk clients. They might not feel like they want to just go back straight into a salon where you are like close together.
You guys are fairly new to Douglas. You've been established about a year now, and I believe that was during the first lockdown. Just tell me what it's been like for a business that started in the COVID era and going on, how you look to the future now.
It's been such a roller coaster. I mean, yeah, we took on the salon last year. During that time, you know, you just think that's the last one and that's going to be the end of it. We didn't really foresee that it would continue like most people throughout this year. The thing that we've noticed the most as well is not having brands be able to visit the salon here. So normally what happens is when you open a salon, a hair salon, beauty salon, the brands that you partner and connect with all make the visit to come to the salon as much as possible to educate, train the staff, but also build a connection. They're excited to see us and see what we've done with the salon and see the brand in practice. And we're really looking forward to having them here. So it is just a waiting game at the minute.
It's 4 minutes before six. That's about it for Update tonight. And by the way, remember, if you're tuning in as a podcast, listening anywhere in the world, any time of day or night, then thank you for making Update the Alabama's most subscribed to news podcast. And we thank you. If you know somebody, by the way, who'd enjoy a daily bulletin of news from the Isle of Man, tell them Update's available as a podcast via Apple, Google, Smart Speaker, Spotify, or the TuneIn app. Get the details at the App Store at manxradio.com. And don't forget to like Manx Radio on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, subscribe to the Manx Radio YouTube channel. Update's compiled from the resources of Manx Radio's news department. Thanks to newsreader Tessa Hawley. Producer Tessa Hawley today. I'm Andy Wynn, back same time, 5:30 tomorrow evening. Have a good evening.